the Democrats said no dice. And if Rice says no, you know what's next? It's called contempt. And Condoleezza Rice may just need to spend a little time in a congressional jail cell.
This is the Quality News Network. Eight Democratic hopefuls faced off last night in the first televised debate of the presidential primary. Discussion centered chiefly on the Iraq War. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has passed the $124 billion war appropriations bill. The measure requires President Bush to begin pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq no later than October. The president has promised a swift veto. Neither houses have the votes to override. Sectarian violence yesterday was responsible for the deaths of at least 78 Iraqis. The bodies of 27 men were found dumped in various Baghdad neighborhoods. Former CIA Chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House thrust the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. Tenet provides the first extensive behind-the-scenes look at the lead-up to the Iraq War in a book to be published Monday. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have taken control of an eastern district following hours of battle today. Five Afghanis were killed, including the district's mayor and police chief. In Washington, senators are expanding their probe into problems within the $85 billion student loan business. Investigators say collection tactics on overdue loans may violate the law. There are also increasing questions about conflict of interest within the Federal Education Department. The Justice Department has released a list of 159 internal papers concerning the firings of eight U.S. prosecutors. The department, however, has refused to provide Congress with the content of those documents. Today, Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty testifies in a closed-door congressional hearing. A 5.9 undersea earthquake panicked Indonesia's Aceh province today. There were no immediate reports of serious damage or injuries. In Uganda, peace talks have resumed between the government and the brutal northern rebel group Lord's Resistance Army. In the past 2 years, the insurgency has killed tens of thousands and displaced nearly 2 million. Master cellist and Russian activist Mstislav Rostropovich has died of cancer. He was 80. Jack Valenti, longtime president of the Motion Picture Association, has died of stroke complications. He was 85. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
British health officials say they've discovered a specific genetic mutation that accounts for people known as night owls. Called the after-hours gene, its discovery may help in the development of drugs for jet lag and night shift difficulties. The deaths of hundreds of birds and sea mammals recently along the California coast are being blamed on a bloom of toxic acid-producing algae. Biologists say warmer water this year has produced an especially heavy growth of the algae. Microsoft posted a 65% boost in quarterly profit to nearly $5 billion. Microsoft credits sales of its new Windows Vista operating system. Ford Motors narrowed its quarterly loss to a better-than-expected $282 million. It was the troubled automaker's seventh consecutive losing quarter. Ford, however, says its cost-cutting efforts are beginning to pay off, and its revenue grew 5%. The Wall Street Journal reports GM has suspended work on two new vehicles in its Ohio and Kansas plants. Labor talks on cost-cutting measures broke down between the management and the UAW. ExxonMobil boasted its best first quarter ever by posting a 10% increase in profits, topping $9 billion. The oil giant says lower fuel prices were offset by higher margins on refining and chemical development. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, wake up, jumping jacks, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, oh, you know the thing, and you know that this isn't Joe. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the Cup of Joe Show. This is John Fox filling in for this Friday morning. G'day, I hope everybody's doing well. We'll probably talk about, debates in a minute, but I'm sitting there listening to the QNN news, and there's this... And I'm not going to talk about the fiddle player thing. Did you hear that story about that they found the gene that makes night owls night owls? And this will help them design drugs to help people with night shift disorders? Pharmaceuticals engineering you even better speed. Oh, my word. That's just absolutely frightening. Sorry, but, man, you know, it's bad enough some of this stuff that they, you know, are peddling as being, hey, you know, I'm having a little trouble keeping going. It's like those bloody, I don't know if they go under the same trade names here. There's like, V and all these energy drinks and all of that same funky taste to them. Well, basically, what that stuff is is synthesized cow bile. It kind of gives a shot to your digestive system, makes you process, I think, sugars a bit faster. And it gives you a bunch of sugar too. All right. Now, I caught a little bit of the debate last night when Bob played some in passing because I've been busy building websites. And by all reports, and I'm talking about places that I like, you know, more left wing places. It was, for the most part, pretty toothless. But, and pretty disappointing, you know, as far as the whole anti-war impeachment thing. But, who's this guy Mike Gravel, and where has he been hiding? Can someone please explain to me where we've been hiding him? Or where he's been hiding himself, or where he came from? Because I haven't heard anything about this guy, and Bob was nice enough to come up with some audio from this guy and play that first, like, kind of Gravel. Oh, I just, you know, sorry. Oops. But go ahead and play that first clip, Bob. This is some pretty hot stuff.
Understand that this war was lost the day that George Bush invaded Iraq on a fraudulent basis. Understand that. Now, with respect to what's going on in the Congress, I'm really embarrassed. So we passed, and the media is in a frenzy right today with what has been passed. What has been passed? George Bush communicated over a year ago that he would not get out of Iraq office. Do we not believe him? We need to find another way. That's where I really would like to sit down with Pelosi and with Reid, and I would hope the other senators would focus on how do you get out? You pass the law, not a resolution, a law making it a felony to stay there. And I'll give you the text of it. And if you're worried about filibuster, here's what you do tactically. They can pass it in the House. We got the votes there. In the Senate, let them filibuster it. And let Reid call up at 12 o'clock every day to have a cloture vote and let the American people see clearly who's keeping the war going and who's not. And that's just the beginning of the tactic if they're tough enough to do it.
Senator Gravel, thank you. And to close out...
Waha! Go, boy! Go! You know, I mean, even lays out a bit of the plan. It's like, okay, you think we can't do it? No, this is how you do it. See? Look here. How cool. Now, I did hear that, you know, Kucinich had, you know, like all of, what, 30 seconds... given to him on the whole concept of impeachment, and then it just kind of got steamrollered. You know, I find that so utterly frustrating, I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, how long is this mess going to go on? There's a piece in the Independent, which I might get to later. It's kind of depressing. But it's from a British soldier who just says, you know, some areas are just absolute chaos, you know, and it's just absolutely, you know, we have Vietnam seriously all over again. And we are so getting very little of the real picture of what's going on. And that's, you know, the same boys learned a lot of lessons in Vietnam, you see. You know, they learned that when the media, even in its fumbling format that it's in today, does shed some light, you're going to lose support for this thing because it's, you know, let me count the ways this is wrong. This whole path we've been going down is just so unbelievably wrong. And do we have time for that whole clip, Bob? Well, why don't we go, because Gravel had just went absolutely just spot on and fairly hardcore one other time. So why don't you go and roll that, Bob?
Senator Gravel, at a forum earlier this year, I want to get this right. You said it doesn't matter whether you are elected president or not. So then, why are you here tonight? Shouldn't debates be for candidates who are in the race to win the race?
Ryan, you're right. I made that statement. But that's before I had a chance to stand with them a couple of free times. It's like going into the Senate. You know, the first time you get there, you're all excited. My God, how did I ever get here? Then about 6 months later, you say, how the hell did the rest of them get here? and I got to tell you, after standing up with them, some of these people frighten me. They frighten me. When you have mainline candidates that turn around and say that there's nothing off the table with respect to Iran, that's code for using nukes, nuclear devices. I got to tell you, I'm President of the United States. There will be no preemptive wars with nuclear devices. To my mind, it's immoral, and it's been immoral for the last 50 years as part of American foreign policy.
Let's use a little moderator discretion here. Senator Gravel, that's a weighty charge. Who on this stage exactly tonight worries you so much?
Well, I would say the top-tier ones, top tier ones. They've made statements. Oh, Joe, I'll include you too. You have a certain arrogance. You want to tell the Iraqis how to run their country. I got to tell you, we should just plain get out. Just plain get out. It's their country. They're asking us to leave, and we insist on staying there. And why not get out? What harm is it going to do? Oh, you hear the statement, well, my God, these soldiers will have died in vain. The entire deaths of Vietnam died in vain. And they're dying in vain right this very second. You know what's worse than a soldier dying in vain? Is more soldiers dying in vain. That's what's worse.
Senator Gravel, thank you.
That's just a beautiful thing. I mean, we need more of that. And you know, the debates are about, you know, supposed to be about, you know, discussing the issues and finding out what these guys think and what they can see as options for getting out. And I mean, he's absolutely right. You know, it's just absolutely, it's a mess. We're in a place where people don't want us, so they're going to keep making noise until we leave. Bob's just telling me here, and with this I'm going to go to the break, that Obama said Kucinich and Gravel aren't serious candidates. And see, you know, right from the beginning, you know, Kucinich, when he first declared, you know, they don't even consider him. I'll catch on the weekends. Once in a while, I'll catch, you know, meet the Depressed and the Today Show, and they'll do spots on the candidates, and they don't even go past Obama, Clinton. Sometimes Obama and Clinton, that's all you get. They want it to be a two-horse race already, and we shouldn't allow them to turn it into a two-horse race, especially when, in my mind, they're two duds. So with that, why don't we take the first break here on the Cup of Joe Show for a Friday morning. And so stick around. You got Foxed Up coming up later. This is John Fox filling in for Joe Vecchio. What show am I doing? So stick around, folks. You want to get on the program, dial into 1-877-443-2366. And stick around, because we'll be right back.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. A ballot should not be a secret from the voter who cast it. That's exactly what happens with dangerous, disenfranchising, touchscreen DRE voting machines, where it's impossible to verify that the machine has recorded the vote the way you cast it. Call Congress today and demand they ban DRE touchscreen voting in Congressman Holt's H.R. 811 Election Reform Bill. Your democracy depends on it.
California's adult education system is proudly celebrating 150 years of success. I'm Jack O'Connell, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. As a teacher of adult learners, I ask you to join me in celebrating this important milestone. Each year, adult education helps nearly 1.5 million Californians become better literate citizens, high school graduates, fluent in English, or ready for college. To learn more about adult education in your community, contact your local school district.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show with your fill-in chair warmer guy, John Fox, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. And after listening to that audio, you know, he's so spot on. And so I was mentioning before that there's this piece at The Independent where it says, serving British soldier exposes horror of war in crazy Basra. I don't know if you've heard this or if I'm slow to get to this because I have been busy. If I apologize. But says a British soldier has broken ranks within days of returning from Iraq to speak publicly of the horror of his tour of duty there, painting a picture of troops under siege, sitting ducks to an increasingly sophisticated insurgency. Basra is lost. They are in control now. It's a full-scale riot, and the government are just trying to save face, said Private Paul Barton. Okay, you know, they say his public protest is a sign of the groundswell of anger among the troops and predictions that more will come forward to break the traditional covenant of silent service. Just last month, Steve Baldwin, 22, a soldier in the same regiment, spoke to The Independent about the way he had been pushed aside since being injured by a roadside bomb which killed three others during the Stafford's first tour in Iraq in 2005. You know, and you'd think that the Democrats could just be riding high on an anti-war platform. This is what doesn't make any sense to me. You know, the people obviously are over this. You know, if they were gullible enough to get sucked into it in the first place, they've come around and said, this wasn't a very smart thing to do. You know, and this is only out of our own self-interest. This had nothing to do with revenge or security or anything else. It has to do with resources. And this is where I have to remind people, you know, this whole thing with Iran. There's an unspoken factor in all of this. Why would, if you believe the way the mainstream media will portray this, why would a supposedly oil-rich nation want to be developing nuke power? You know, if you really think about it, why would, if this isn't an oil exporting nation, why would they be interested in this? You know, and so without further information, one could be pulled in the direction of it's for nefarious purposes. But yet, with just one piece of information included, it takes on a completely different color. Now, Iran hit peak oil back in 1974, I do believe. And they've been on a steady decline ever since. And kind of the numbers that they're virtually forced to export every day
they can't pull enough out of the ground fast enough to supply their own population. So they need to find ways to produce electricity, and fast. Now, it's definitely not the way that I'd want them to go, but hell, this is, you know, this is a slightly different situation. You know, this isn't, you know, this isn't Australia, this isn't Germany, this isn't, you know, the infrastructure is not there. And how do you get it fast, especially if you're not going to be able to import it, you know, and subsidize it the way, you know, things happen here in Australia, things happen in the States. So, you know, Iran's got this internal crisis that they cannot fuel their own nation because of what they're forced to export. But they don't, you know, you don't hear about this angle of it, because that doesn't play, that doesn't play directly into the hand of the nefarious purposes. So there's actually a lot of legitimacy in my mind. You know, I mean, they probably, you know, they probably could do solar or some such thing, but you know, when it, in the short period of time that they've got, and you know, kind of the general, you know, I shouldn't say city level, but infrastructure and you know, just the means to do such a thing, I can see why this is the way that they want to go. Plus, they have the fuel to power it. They wouldn't have to worry about the politics. Not that I'm necessarily supporting it, but it's a real factor in the entire picture. And you know, what would be wrong with a government trying to supply its people with the infrastructure that they need? I don't know. Consider me a nut job for that, but I actually don't think so. You know, Ahmadinejad's, you know, a bit of a nutter. I'm not doubting that. But what else in the situation? Seriously, what else are you going to do? It just sounds, you know, it sounds like it would be logical. And that would be a real worry. And their economy has been, from what I understand, has been growing kind of regularly. You know, and if they could just power it better and power it more, it's just, you know, it's got to be part of it has to be part of the argument, I would think. But hey, that, you know, that again is, you know, Iran's just another step in that situation of needing to control the flow of oil. It's not directly about just getting it and taking it. It's about controlling the flow of it. And, you know, I really wish I'd been able to watch this French kind of future dramatization thing that was airing here the other night when I was on the air. But it started where, you know, like a half a dozen refineries were all nailed by terrorists in one fell swoop, all at the same time. And suddenly the oil market crashed. And that ended up affecting food production, and things started, from what I could tell, you know, it's hard to do read a movie while you got the laptop trying to research your show. And, you know, a bit of chaos factor started to settle in. And looked like it was an interesting thing. You know, it was like Last Oil 2013 or some such thing that it was translated from in French. But, you know, I mean, that's... There could be a real time, and I was saying this to Bob earlier, that, you know, those who think they're going to just keep riding on their money, there's going to be a point where that money is going to become worthless because the system's going to collapse. You know, and if, unless we wake up to a whole bunch of different things, politically, ecologically, blah, 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 you know, we could be looking at a complete collapse of the society that we know. And maybe part of that would be a good thing. But anyway, folks, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. So you're listening to John Fox filling in for Mr. Joe Vecchio on the Cup of Joe radio show. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice, and we'll be back right after this.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Hobbled by court rulings that let Northwest Airlines throw out union contracts and prevent the union from striking, the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, has reached a tentative agreement with Northwest, giving the airline the huge concessions it was after. AFA-CWA's Master Executive Council Vice President, Andy Wisbacher.
A deal that represents $195 million in concessions to the company. We were able to get some movement on some non-economic items. I understand some scheduling issues and things like that, but as far as the economic items, there wasn't any change on that.
Northwest flight attendants have twice rejected agreements that included the $195 million in concessions. That represents nearly a 40% cut in wages and benefits. Wisbacher says he has no sense of how they'll vote this time. And he says the U.S. legal system and the National Mediation Board have both failed to protect the interests of workers in this case.
The American worker has been failed not only by the bankruptcy court, but by the National Mediation Board, which has refused to release us into a cooling off period so that we could use the leverage of the right to strike at the bargaining table.
The issue of network neutrality is back in the spotlight today as forces gather to push Congress to pass legislation that would make preserving Internet freedom law. Jesse Russell reports.
More than 16 months ago, when the telecommunication companies began pushing legislation that would split the Internet into two tiers and give them greater control over what Internet users see and do online, there was barely a sound. But then, a groundswell of supporters rose up, uniting the unlikely cast of organizations such as the NRA, Christian Coalition, MoveOn.org, and more. The millions of supporters put pressure on their congresspeople and helped educate them on the importance of network neutrality. That led to the death of the telecommunication company's legislation on the floor of Congress. In order to protect the future of network neutrality, Senators Byron Dorgan, a Democrat, and Olympia Snow, a Republican, have drafted the Internet Preservation Act. According to small business owner Gary Markle, who operates nmchili.com, preserving network neutrality is important for his livelihood.
Tier pricing with regard to Internet usage. Now, that scared the bejesus out of me. My entire income is predicated on being seen on the web.
The Christian Coalition is once again stepping up, making the issue of network neutrality number two on their legislative agenda this year. The Coalition's Director of Communications, Michelle Combs, said the coalition plans to make sure that network neutrality is on the radar and talked about by the presidential candidates.
Net neutrality is a true family issue. We believe that it will affect millions of families around the country and millions of families that are involved with our organization.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. And I know I really wasn't paying attention to the debate last night because, well, I've been kind of busy with other projects and the election kind of run here in Australia has kind of just begun in earnest in the last couple of days, and it's been rather kind of interesting. Some of it pathetic, some of it fiery and interesting. And Labor had the opening of their national meeting today, Federal Labor Party, and was all their, this was their big smooch fest. And, you know, Kevin Rudd got to come down, walk down the aisle and, you know, do the whole I'm the man this time, you know, speech. And there were some good bits in it, and he went after Howard on a few things. But it's all of a sudden, you know, this moment's gone by where suddenly in the last couple of days, now it sounds like a campaign. It went from business as usual, or, you know, the actual, this is working time in government and we're having the debate or as much of it as we have, but then suddenly it all got more repetitive and it's just like, oh, here we go. But I've just been amazed at the nonsense that has been coming out of the mouth of little Johnny Howard. It's just been absolutely amazing. You know, I seriously am waiting for the moment when he starts screaming WMD again. On ABC's Late Line on Thursday nights, they have Clark and Daw, and they're these two commentary comic skit writer guys, and the one guy always plays the journalist, and then the other guy plays anyone in politics. And so they were doing Howard again last night. And lately they've been portraying Howard as though it's a school teacher, the journalist, reprimanding the bad little boy Johnny and how he doesn't get along with the other kids. And it's just this... It nails it. Because, you know, I know global warming is just absolutely just giving Howard just, it's driving him crazy. Because it's made its way so deeply into the discussion. And this is a guy, you know, just like George W. Bush, he refuses to admit that either he was wrong or has taken on new information and has changed his opinion, you know. I mean, doesn't even have that kind of bravery. So he comes out and says that, you know, saying that, you know, things like global warming, stating that it's, you know, the moral crisis of our generation is, you know, misleading. And it's just absolutely, you know, and he's been saying crazy stuff about the war, too. He won't embarrass the U.S. by pulling out. And man, how do you say this with a straight face? And I see, just like in the States, where there's definitely a groundswell, whether you're seeing it in your elected representatives at the moment, I'm not so sure, but over here, I think there's definitely everyone's over little Johnny Boy, and they just don't believe him. They don't listen to him. I've had word from some people in television who say that if Costello or Howard are on their show and they get, like, you know, minute by minute ratings, they lose like one third of their audience. Just like a light switch. And they reckon that, you know, and it's not that people aren't interested in the subjects, because afterwards, if they have political analysts on to talk about what the treasurer said about the economy, they stay on and listen, but they don't want to hear it from the treasurer, and they don't want to hear about foreign policy from Howard either, which I think is a riot. Could make you make some interesting program decisions. Not going to have the leader of the country on. Bugger it. No one wants to watch him. If only. It'll never happen. So, you know, I really hope that this debate gets opened up, and I feel bad for these two guys, Kucinich and Gravel, who are obviously just being marginalized as far as, you know, media coverage. They're not being taken seriously, and it really bugs me that you can have someone like Barack Obama, who hasn't secured anything yet, call another candidate not serious. You know, who the hell's he? That would be my response to him. Yeah, and I care what you think because. But I mean, you know, and I was really disappointed, simple fact that, you know, and it even sounded like it was a big steer away from the whole idea of impeachment. You know, they served up kind of softball pitch, and then we're going to pull that right out of the park as fast as possible. Because if anyone was honest about the facts, it's, you know, it's pretty solid case against a few of the boys there. You know, it's just a... Maybe I expected too much. I thought maybe I was going to see something different this year, this time around, you know, after what we've been through. But, you know, maybe again I'm going to be left thoroughly disappointed in the fact that it seems like no matter who we get in there, they all lose their spine, they lose their voice, they lose their credibility. Ray in the chat room says something about Bush's behavior, and I'm seeing this footage that they're playing all over the place of him dancing with all these, you know, drummers and dancers and whatnot, and I'm just seeing this, and you know, I'm an American living overseas, and I'm just embarrassed. You know, I'm just sitting there going, they all think we're stupid hicks, but this guy's not even a hick. You know, it just the Malaria Awareness Festival, and you know, we gave investment in mosquito nets. I even heard or something, but banging on the drums,
man, never, ever, ever, ever be the white guy who walks in the middle of the picture and decides to bang on the, you know, bang on the indigenous person's drums. You're going to look like a moron. But then again, stating the obvious. Unbelievable. All right, let's take the last break here in the Cup of Joe radio show, folks. You've got John Fox filling in, kind of winging it here for Mr. Joe Vecchio on a Friday morning, and start getting kind of geared up for doing the green thing here in a bit. I have all this green stuff in front of me. I'm sure for it. Around folks, into the Cup of Joe radio show on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years. You know, let's talk a bit about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, remember that one? That was big in the 60s, back when gas was like 30 cents a gallon, a house 22 grand, cigarettes a quarter a pack. But the packs came with a warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. It proved to be right. Music's changed, and so have prices. Gas is almost $3 a gallon. A decent house costs a quarter of a million, and a pack of cigarettes is about $5. But now, there's another cancer warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer, whether you smoke or not. Radon is an invisible, odorless gas that seeps into your home from underground. The only way to know if you have high levels of radon in your home is to have your home tested. The U.S. Surgeon General recommends it.
Call 1-800-693-5343 or visit radon.oznet.ksu.edu. Sponsored by KDHE and the Kansas Radon Program at K-State.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show here with John Fox filling up for the man who's waking day shift. He's waking day shift. Get back to work. Meathead. Now there's a program that you couldn't make today. You'd never get that on air today. All in the Family, never happen. Not in a million years. Rob Reiner. And that whole thing with Spinal Tap reforming for the Live Earth concert is just a panic. I think that's one of the funniest things I've heard in ages. So,
how you feeling about the state of your democracy? Is the question I pose. Yes, and I have seen the video, Bob. Yes, poor Nigel working at a miniature horse ranch or something where he wants to find miniature jockeys in which to race them. miniature jockeys in Tibet. And just it's too good. I didn't even know how right was I. Can't wait to hear this new song, Hotter Than Hell. Too funny. Or Warmer Than Hell, something like that. It's just going to be funny. But anyway, seriously, this is, you know, are we going to be railroaded down again into another situation where we let media decide who the Democratic candidate's going to be again? Or whoever it is that seems to be able to cram these things down our throats? You know, I voted for John Kerry last time, but it wasn't without regrets that's as good as we could do. But that decision wasn't left to us. And I heard the other day, I was hearing a replay of Bob's interview with Brad from Bradblog, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, you know, we've been talking about this stuff for how long now, and nothing has been done. Are we still really this far away? And that's, I don't know. I'm not sure whether I find it pathetic or unfortunate. I'm not. Why are we sudden? You know, what, 6 years, 8 years, whatever, 6 years down the road since, you know, things really were coming to light from the 2000 election. You know, it's just, you know, we have voting, actual physical voting problems, counting problems, and then we have a situation where the dialogue, we don't get to, it's so managed now. This is the thing that drives me nuts. I guess what I'm seeing down here, that, you know, the campaign's on, suddenly it all looks managed. And it's so managed that we don't get to hear anything. And we don't get to hear ideas. We don't get to hear debate. We don't get to hear anything that isn't pre-produced. And I don't think I don't think our democracy is any more healthy today than it was in 2000, which is really bad. I mean, some states have made, you know, great strides in having decommissioned the machines in individual states, but we still have some, like, real problems. And we've got a presidential election coming up that those are the easier ones to play with. Is when it's the national count and the flaws in the electoral college in this modern day and age. Why do we still have indirect elections? I don't understand. These are the things that keep me up at night, I must say. Why do we still have indirect elections and then games on top of that? You know, I really thought we would have gotten further than this. I still remember when Gail and I first started, you know, the first incantation of the website, and, you know, and our first blogger blog. And if we had had any idea that we would still be kind of having these same arguments, you know, the funding bill's gone through, but then Bush is going to veto it. And I agree, you know, let them filibuster. Let them filibuster till their throats are, you know, just dry, raw, and gravelly. Till there's, you know, you know, a line's got to be drawn in the sand at some point. And I mean, it's way overdue. He just can't have, you know, this moron in the White House just cannot have a blank check. It doesn't work like that. Till their throats are brick dry, Kipling. I like that. But, you know, seriously, you know, and after all that noise about, you know, oh, the Democrats need to filibuster, well, let these guys whine. Let them just, you know, spew. Who cares? Bring your Game Boy. You know. Bring your laptops, the net. There's got to be some pretty good hotspot action going on there. And just let them go. That's the process. Then you go to the next step. You can then take some action. Ah, it's just... it's sad. And, you know, the Chaser was on right before I went on, and they have this guy in America, and it was one of these things where it was just like, oh, geez, you know, it's so easy to take the piss out of Americans. And they were walking around, you know, he's walking around as like an ambassador to Australia trying to promote Australian tourism, you know, saying that there weren't enough landmarks here, so they just adopted some and said, like, the Eiffel Tower was in Melbourne, and Mount Rushmore was in Sydney, that those were all copies, like, in the United States and in France, and there are all these Americans going, oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, I want to go to Australia now because I can go see the real Mount Rushmore. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head, saying, oh, it's just so, so sad. No wonder there's still 30% of the people that believe this crap. Oh, it's just too sad. All right, we should wrap things up for the day. Thanks to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to unreportednews.net, who sponsors the Cup of Joe radio show. Thanks to Joe for letting me sit in. I hope I did you justice. And hopefully we'll have Joe back on Monday. Thanks to the mods and the bloggers for everything that they do on the horn. And thanks to Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers. And to the carpenters and anybody else that I might have forgotten. So stick around after the news. Foxed Up coming up next.
I want a cup of Joe. I'll crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup. Yeah, da 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 da.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Saudi Arabian officials say they've arrested 170 suspected terrorists planning to attack Saudi oil fields and military bases. A large cache of weaponry was found buried in the desert. More than $5 million was seized. The suspects are both Saudis and foreign nationals. Eight Democratic hopefuls faced off last night in the first televised debate of the presidential primary. Discussion centered chiefly on the Iraq War. Sectarian violence yesterday was responsible for the deaths of at least 78 Iraqis. The bodies of 27 men were found dumped in various Baghdad neighborhoods. Former CIA chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House thrust the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. Tenet provides the first extensive behind-the-scenes look at the lead-up to the Iraq War in a book to be published Monday. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have taken control of an eastern district following hours of battle today. Five Afghanis were killed, including the district's mayor and police chief. Leading U.S. senators are promising to return the right of Guantanamo Bay detainees to challenge their imprisonment, a right denied them by Congress last year. There are some 385 foreign prisoners at the U.S. military facility. Most have been there for 5 years without being charged with a crime. The USDA says at least 6,000 hogs nationwide have been fed recalled poisonous pet food. Authorities are trying to determine whether the butchered pigs have entered the human food supply yet. Farms in four states have been quarantined. In Georgia, a wildfire thought to have been under control has rekindled, burning three more buildings and forcing hundreds to evacuate. In the last 11 days, the fires have destroyed more than 61,000 acres. In Chechnya, a Russian military helicopter was shot down this morning. All 18 aboard were killed. Russian authorities say the troops were participating in a mission against Islamic extremists. Master cellist and Russian activist Mstislav Rostropovich has died of cancer. He was 80. Jack Valenti, longtime president of the Motion Pictures Association, has died of stroke complications. He was 85. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him.